Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Okay, business leaders, are you playing defense or are you on the offense? Are you just, excuse me, hey, I'm trying to talk business here. As I was saying, are you here just to play or are you playing to win? If you're in it to win, meet your next MVP, NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is your full business management system in one suite. With NetSuite, you're running your accounting, your financials, HR, e-commerce, and more, all from your online dashboard. One source of truth means every department's working from the same numbers with no data delays. And with AI embedded throughout, you're automating manual tasks, plus getting fast insights for your next move. Whether you're competing on your home turf or looking to conquer international markets, NetSuite helps you get the W. Over 40,000 businesses have already made the move to NetSuite, the number one cloud ERP.
Right now, get the CFO's Guide to AI and Machine Learning at netsuite.com/special. Get this free guide at netsuite.com/special.
Okay, guys.
Now you're kissing Chase Utley and that's it.
Why are you pushing Chase Utley on me? It's starting to get weird.
This is the Hot Corner.
Okay, look, I have a plan, all right? And it involves you getting this letter to him when you got out there to kiss him. Now, I have given this to Major League Baseball, his lawyer, his manager, his mom, and he has not gotten back to me, which means he hasn't gotten it yet. So just...
Did you write a love letter to Chase Utley?
With Patrick Harris and Joe Fisher.
In a lot of ways, yes, I do love him, but that is not a love letter in the way that you're thinking of it, okay? There's nothing sexual or...
Okay, that sounds good.
Pal
read,
around.
I'm gonna read it.
Yeah, read it.
Dear Chase... Oh, shit. They're stickers.
Yeah.
My God.
On the Odyssey app.
Dear Chase, I feel like I can call you Chase because you and me are so much alike. I would love to meet you someday. It would be great to have a catch. I know I can't throw as fast as you, but I think you would be impressed with my speed. Did you have a good relationship with your father? Me neither.
And 1080.
These are all things we can talk about and more. I am sure our relationship would be a real home run.
The Fan.
Welcome to the second hour of the Hot Corner. You're missing the first hour. You can download that fan podcast at 1080thefan.com, the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts, including places that rhyme with Livy Dunify.
Oh, I'd subscribe.
We've already subscribed.
Yeah, I'm definitely a follower of hers on Instagram.
I asked Joe about an over-under on this because there is a large basketball game looming in town tonight.
Oh. It's not Pitt, North Carolina?
I mean, I'm more interested in that.
My Pitt Panthers.
I love that this game is 55-52
oh.
Bucks over Sirs.
This team.
Right now.
Yeah, that's,
I'm happy for TNT.
Who's that number zero guy for the Bucks? He's pretty good.
No, Scoot Henderson?
Number zero for the Bucks. We should try and go after him.
They get Jimmy Butler? Is that Jimmy Butler wearing number zero?
I don't know who that guy is, but he looks pretty good.
Are the Heat still mad at us that now that Jimmy Butler wants out? I did see some shade on the Blazers subreddit. It wasn't about Danny Meringue this
time. Holy crap, that's Damian Lillard.
But I did see somebody came into the Blazers subreddit a week ago and blamed Jimmy Butler wanting out on the Blazers not trading them Damian Lillard.
Wait, they're blaming Jimmy Butler wanting out now for...
Because the Blazers wouldn't send Dame to the Heat for their garbage package.
How about that?
That's some deep salt.
That is, I mean, the Heat fan already didn't like Portland Trailblazers, but that's even more of a reason. It's like, wow, we wouldn't lose Jimmy if it weren't for, if he would have just given us
Dame free.
For a washer and dryer, then Jimmy Butler would still be there. I say they try to bring Jimmy back one more time.
I was just happy that they weren't blasting our friend Danny Meringue.
That's kind of funny.
It's usually what that subreddit does.
It's kind of funny.
What, I read the comments.
Heat or the Portland?
The Portland one.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the Heat subreddit.
It's friendly fire.
Yeah, I mean, Danny, no love lost between him and the Heat fan base at this point.
That's the truth. All right, we got Fair Foul coming up in the bottom of the hour, plus Livy Dunn here in about 15 minutes. But let's get into this.
We can't do Livy Dunn right now?
No, we can't do. You got to wine and dine her. As they talked about in the club hour, she needs a little bit of wooing and maybe a lot of wooing.
You know what? I'm just going to, you just do this segment. I'll just stare at her Instagram page for the next 15 minutes.
Okay. All right. Then it's just me. The 2025 Hall of Fame voting results came out. We got three people coming in. Remember, you need a C average.
God, she's so hot.
To pass the list.
Oh, sorry.
There's that actress lady that I really like with the big talent.
Sydney Sweeney?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Spokane's finest.
Is she Spokane? Really from
Spokane?
That's my hometown.
I don't know where she's from.
That's my hometown.
How would I know where she's from? Who knows?
That's my hometown. That's where we from.
Spokompton, baby. Spokanistan.
That's where we from.
Getting higgy with it.
Look at you, Spokane.
Spokane, dude.
What is in the water?
Sweeney.
What is in the
milk? Crosby, dude. This is amazing.
What is in the dairy products?
Just a trifecta.
What that?
Just a trifecta. Adam Morrison, too. Throw that in there, too. The stash.
Hall of Fame, what?
Hall of Fame. Three people going to the Hall of Fame. That would be Billy Wagner on his 10th year on the ballot. And two first-timers, Karsten Charles Sabathia III and Ichiro Suzuki.
Totally threw me off as if that was Ichiro's real first name. Karsten Suzuki. Karsten Ichiro Suzuki.
Karsten Charles Sabathia III.
Gotcha.
See how I wear my hat just askew to the right?
Yeah, I told you to do that because I thought it would be cool.
Nah, that's from the big fella when he was in Cleveland, the big boy.
Yeah, that is a true story that you do wear your hat like that because of old CeCe.
I am glad that CeCe Sabathia got in. I do think he is a Hall of Fame caliber pitcher. I do think it helped that he pitched in New York. I do think it helped that he won a World Series there. The lights were on him. He kind of changed his pitching style as he evolved. Lost a ton of weight while he was in New York. He looks great as a human being right now for just a large man size. It's like I see Will Ortner over there. And when I saw Will Ortner 2 years ago.
Will, you look great as a human being right now.
2 years ago, that Will Ortner would have eaten the current Will Ortner. Like, he looks good. CeCe looks great right now. But he was a big, big fella when he pitched, and there was something fun about him. He won two Cy Youngs, one as a Cleveland Indian, one as a Milwaukee Brewer after being traded halfway through the season. CeCe is one of my favorite pitchers I ever watched. There's kind of multiple generations.
Well, who doesn't like a fat pitcher?
Of course. There's multiple generations. There's my early generation, which is Tom Glavine, Greg Maddux, Pedro Martinez, Randy Johnson. Like, those are some of my guys. And then the newer genre, those guys are starting to get in the Hall of Fame, and CeCe was always up there for me. I'm very happy he's going in. Not because I'm an Indians fan, but I think CeCe was one of the good ones.
Yeah, I mean, he's been in the league since 2003?
I think so.
Something around there.
Something like that.
Pulled
he
up
pitched
right now.
For a long time.
2001. 2001 to 2019 was his career. I mean, he was in those mid-2000s. He was at Cleveland. Again, you're right where him going to New York gave him even more notoriety. But if you remember him in his Cleveland days, dude was one of the best in the league. And again, you got to appreciate a fat pitcher, but the dude threw gas. Dude was dominant.
He pitched for 2 months in Milwaukee, and everybody's like, is this the best pitcher in baseball? For 2 months. I don't even know if they made the playoffs that year. But they traded for him at the deadline because Cleveland was like, well, this guy's about to sign a fat deal. Let's go ahead and get rid of him. And he did sign a fat deal with the Yankees, and then he won a World Series with them.
Yeah, let's see. I'm trying to get some of his career stats pulled up.
He's not a 300 win. He's not a 3,000 K.
He's got a 3.74 ERA, 251 wins, 61.8 career WAR. Yeah, strikeouts. Looking at it right now. Strikeouts, 3,093.
Oh, he is a 3,000 guy.
Yeah.
I think CC is going to be kind of a litmus test for a lot of pitchers coming through as eyeball test. You know, he doesn't have 300 wins. He does have 3,000 strikeouts, so I was wrong on that. But I think he's going to start this litmus test of looking at guys that pitchers and saying, is that guy a Hall of Famer? And I think you look at CC and say, yes, that guy's a Hall of Famer. Watching that guy throughout his career, is he one of the best to ever do it in that era? Yes, the answer is yes.
Well, again, those mid-2000s, man, he was...
dominant.
Yes. That when he went to New York, he was still good there, but he was not nearly as good
He's not Cleveland good.
No. No, and that's what I liked about CC is that he made his name, he made his career, and he had his best years in Cleveland in those mid-2000 years where there was really good pitchers then.
And as somebody who didn't make the ballot, that I would argue why CC benefits from being in New York is Felix Hernandez.
I was about to go there with my next question because if
Felix,
there's a
without
producer,
a doubt, is a Hall of Famer.
Yes.
If there's a producer on the hot corner, he's got to be a Mariners honk.
I'm so glad he's not here tonight because he would be losing his S right now.
Well, but like you kind of have to a little bit for Felix.
That's him throwing up.
Felix won a Cy Young with like 12 wins.
Yeah,
that's how good he was.
And there was a year that Corey Kluber beat CC or beat Felix for a Cy Young. I was here with Voldemort, not in this studio, down in the poop-filled Willametta, and I said on air, if I had a vote, I would vote for Felix. And they gave it to Corey Kluber.
Felix won one Cy Young. He should have three more.
Without a doubt.
I'm biased. It's like him and Kershaw from that era that are the best. Now, his drop-off is immediate. Like
yes.
He hits the cliff, Thelma and Louise, and he's down.
There you go.
He's gone. But his true peak is the best, and I worry that he's going to get screwed because if you are a voter and you're not looking at starting pitchers like, you know, they do with the Supreme Court when it's porn, right? You know it when you see it.
Mm.
Starting pitchers in the Hall of Fame, you know it when you see it. It's him because he's not going to have the numbers in the win column that everyone else has.
Well, and it's funny that we were talking about that Felix Corey Kluber comparison right there because I'm looking at a list that they have of best pitchers since the year 2000, right? So
Bartolo Colon,
2000 to the year 2020. So you know the last
so
20 years. Yeah, and on this list at 15 is Felix Hernandez, but they put Kluber at number 12. Do you know how many more strikeouts Felix has in Kluber?
Well, I think the interesting thing with Kluber is Kluber had 4 years of absolute dominance, a slider that was unhittable. Felix was that for 8 years, maybe 10 years.
Well, and that goes into it, though. It's like, what is a Hall
Kluber
of
Fame? Kluber went to a World Series.
What's a Hall of Fame career?
Pitched 3 games in a World Series.
Felix has probably the most one-run given up losses of all time.
Of all time. Randy Johnson might be the other.
Also, what it's worth, Felix Hernandez has about 1,100 more strikeouts than Corey Kluber does over his career.
1,100.
1,461 compared to 25-24.
And see, that's just people not watching the Pacific
Northwest. I think that we have a geographic bias here, and I wouldn't even say it's a bias. It's just we spend a lot of our time watching the Mariners and watching Felix pitch. We know how good he is. One of my most favorite live sporting moments was going up to T-Mobile Park 2 years ago to watch his jersey get retired. I'll always remember that. That was one of the best times I've ever had in a ballpark because here I am as an Orioles fan and I'm cheering just as hard as anybody else in that stadium because I know how great of a player pitcher he was and how important he is to that franchise, but also just to the game of baseball, man. His perfect game. I know exactly where I was. I was watching it down in Eugene. I was trying to look for apartments before I moved down there, and me and the girl were sitting down having lunch, and it was on the TV, and we were watching. I was watching it. Of course, she doesn't know jackass about baseball, so I'm telling
her. Final score of that game?
Perfect 1-0.
1-0.
I don't even remember. I was just like, Felix got a win for once. It was probably a 1-0 game.
I saw Felix Hernandez. I saw one time I went to the Unit versus the King, and Randy was in New York, and New York was in town to play the Mariners, and it was Felix against Randy Johnson. Felix threw 7 innings, gave up 1 run. Randy threw 8, gave up 0. Yankees won 2-0.
That was classic. Felix was notorious for having like 10 strikeouts. Ichiro would get 2 singles, and the Mariners would have 3 hits total.
And I think what's garbage about this like regional bias BS stuff is like the game is not that way anymore. Like, we can watch Ellie De La Cruz in Cincinnati. Corbin Burns, I didn't need to see him on Baltimore to know that he's good because I watched him in Milwaukee. You know, like, the way baseball is now, this like, oh, I don't stay up late to watch stuff. Look, we know who Mason Miller is and Brent Rooker and Butler and those kids in Oakland that are really good because the game is not as niche regionally as it used to be. You don't have to be in New York to get to the World Series or to get to the Hall of Fame, but apparently they do. Because that's shown right here.
Well, just look at the Ichiro voting. It's that simple. Look at Ichiro and Ken Griffey Jr.
Exactly, and that's where I want to go next. We're going to stick. What about
Livvy Dunn next?
We're going to bump Livvy for a little bit.
She can be in my fair or foul. I got you.
We're going to bump Livvy for a moment. We'll get to her in fair or foul. Let's stick with this Hall of Fame thing. We'll do that next. That's Joe Fisher. I'm Patrick Harris. Will Ordner on the ones and twos, 1080 The Fan.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What is Dax? Are you
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen. Yes, I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge. Trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps.
Beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring amazing special guests from the cast and crew.
After that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben and Adam.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Just a reminder, fans, about Die Hard Night coming up here at the stadium. Free admission to anyone who was actually alive the last time the Indians won a pennant.
It's always baseball season. This is the Hot Corner with Harrison Fisher on 1080 The Fan.
The good news is we were all alive the last time the Indians won a pennant. That'd be 2016, baby, at Game 1, Game 2. First time I ever hated Mother Nature. She screwed us.
What?
2016 World Series? Tajay Davis hits that home run. Dude, momentum's on our side, and then the rain comes in.
Oh, you know, there were six other games. In
dude,
that
game two was so cold.
Was that in Cleveland or Chicago? I guess it doesn't matter. I mean, it's November in either of those places. Yeah.
Game one was fun because we were all jacked up, but game two was so cold, and it was raining. My mom's favorite story is Coco Crisp was in right field doing jumping jacks to stay warm.
God, what a great...
She's like, I love that guy. He's so cute.
What a great baseball name.
And I was like, I love him too, Mom, but it's more about Frankie. Get a hit!
Mom, shut up.
Shut up, Mom! Trevor Bauer's finger's bleeding again!
Coco Crisp, that's got to be a top 10 name in baseball history.
Dude, Coco Crisp and Milton Bradley, dude?
It
got
was
cereal and board games in the outfield, dude. That's what I used to say in Cleveland.
It was originally Cavelli Crisp.
Oh,
might
is that
be
his
a
real
better name?
Name.
What about Johnny Dickshot?
there are names from the back in the day that we literally can't say due to FCC rules.
Or Jack Glasscock. These are names. When I Google best names in baseball history, and it gives me the from sources across the web, the first name that pops up is Coco Crisp.
I mean, it's pretty good.
And Rusty Koontz.
Rusty Cunts.
I'm going to say Koontz just so that way I don't get fired.
Koontz.
What about Boof Bonzer?
Boof is pretty good.
Boof.
Real quickly, before we get into the
Oil
real story.
Oil Can Boyd.
Real quickly, before we get into the real story, I just want to say all these people deserve to lose their votes. All these names of people that I'm going to tell you are people that I watched and thought were very good baseball players, but in no way, shape, or form are Hall of Famers. Ian Kinsler got 10 votes.
All right.
Russell Martin got 9. Brian McCann was 7. Troy Tulowitzki got 4. 3 people voted for Curtis Granderson. Your boy Adam Jones, who I love, got 3 votes.
Just got a job with the Orioles.
Carlos Gonzalez got 2 votes. Like, guys, what are we doing here?
I would love to know the guy that did not give Ichiro his vote.
And that's the next question.
I want to see his ballot.
What the hell is your problem? Like,
did I not call that a couple weeks ago?
You did, and I'm so mad that you're right. Because I just firmly believe when Mo got in, 100%, this was going to open the door. It was going to say, okay, we can get past this curmudgeon BS, and we can say, look, Ichiro's a bona fide first ballot Hall of Famer. Albert Pujols, bona fide first ballot Hall of Famer. Clayton Kershaw, bona fide first ballot. Like, let's just start voting for guys because they deserve it. Miguel Cabrera, you're a first ballot Hall of Famer. I don't care about all these, okay, so Kershaw was bad in the playoffs, but the dude's one of the greatest pitchers I've ever seen in my life, okay? Yankee Stadium used to chant, who's your daddy, to Pedro Martinez, who might be the greatest pitcher of all time. Like, if you know they're in. And to not put Ichiro, I just thought he would be the number two. And now that he's not the number two, it terrifies me that nobody else will be 100%. Because it's like, now I found a reason. You know, it's almost like that one guy who was like, I don't think I'm going to vote for Mariano Rivera because I bet you will get 100%. And I'm going to be the guy to buck that trend, but decided to vote for him anyway. And then was like, damn it, I missed it. I won't forget next time.
I mean,
I'm not voting for Ichiro.
Literally the next unanimous possible we have all time might be another Japanese player. And that's Shohei Ohtani in 25 years or whatever.
Derek Jeter's not a first ballot Hall of Famer or 100%.
Ken Griffey.
Right.
Ken Griffey.
Greg Maddux.
There are 5 people that didn't vote for Griffey.
Tony Gwynn.
I mean, let's say Shohei Ohtani's career plays out like it's been happening the last couple of years. Just doesn't miss many games because of injury. Dominant at bat. Dominant hitter. Even gets to pitch a little bit more and starts pitching again and finishes out his career just as good as it's been going. What excuse are you going to have to not vote him as a Hall of Famer?
I don't know.
What's your excuse for not voting for?
Did it seem like he was ever committed to
all time?
Not sure he was ever committed to one position, and therefore I'm out.
But it's been something that's happened in the history of the voting. I think Ted Williams has like 85% of the vote.
And how is it Mariano freaking Rivera? A closer. That's the one who gets the 100.
And there's only one closer in the Hall of Fame of all time.
It's insane.
Before Mo, and it's Dennis Eckersley. And now you're like, I think it's because people are like, he won't be 100%. I think it's a real thing. I think it's a real thing that these idiots, these old curmudgeons, these boomers, don't want to give the satisfaction because Babe Ruth wasn't 100% and Mickey Mantle wasn't 100% and Bob Gibson wasn't 100%. Stan Musial wasn't 100%. So nobody can be 100%.
So do you think these writers get together at like a luncheon and it's like, all right, who's falling on the sword this
year?
No,
I think there's some dude at his house that's like, I'm going to be the guy.
My dad fought in World War II, okay?
Yeah, and damn it. Bob Feller fought next to my dad, and that guy didn't get 100%.
My dad was on Iwo Jima.
So I'll be damned if this damn Japanese player gets 100%. Who won the war? Am I right? Am I right?
USA. 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 USA.
I'm sure there's some loser like that.
It's their 15 seconds. That's exactly what it is. Some part of them enjoys it to the utmost degree. It's sick. It's the same people who hate watch. Like, it's you're a Cougars fan, it's when you get to hate watch the Huskies. You're a Duck fan, it's when you get to hate watch the Huskies. It's a hate watch, but now you actually get to do a vote.
Jeez, you
we're not on the same team.
You guys both hate the Huskies.
Different types of hate.
Same.
Those are like Nepo babies hating each other.
Oh, okay.
Mine is a kid from the slums.
What did we ever do wrong to you? Beat us 4 years in a row.
Somebody said to me the other day, you're a Wazoo fan? And I was like, honey, nobody chooses to be a Wazoo fan. We're alumni.
We earned this.
Yeah. Nobody is like, you know what? I like their jerseys. I choose them.
Unless you play with them on like NCAA 07 or something like that.
Destroy.
I've always been a big fan of maroon.
Crimson. So, yeah. So, hopefully this isn't...
Will we ever find out who this is? Are they ever...
No, because they're a coward.
No, because their ballot was anonymous. They are not required. The Baseball Writers Association of America does not require you to make your ballot public.
That is why this keeps happening.
And that's why Larry Stone's going to give me a vote.
Because people would be properly shamed if they had to own up to it. It is ironic, as a someone who graduated with a Big J journalism degree, that the people who whine and cry about the players not doing what they're supposed to do, who whine and cry about, you know, the players not standing up for what they believe in, that they're the ones who are upset when it comes to accountability.
Patrick.
Sorry, we were talking trash about Will. Got busted.
It only hurt my feelings just a little.
Got busted. Do any of these names do it for you on the 2026 Hall of Fame ballot? God.
No.
Hunter Pence. Nick Markakis. Shinsu Chu. Ryan Braun.
Okay.
And the best chance of all of them, Cole Hamels. Cole Hamels, a Hall of Famer?
I hesitated.
Yep, there you go. Great pitcher. I really enjoyed him. Series MVP. Loved Cole Hamels. Not a Hall of Famer.
But I hesitated. Yeah, sorry.
Those are your first ballot guys, along with Rick Porcello.
Oh, my God.
Chris Davis with a C.
What? Like my Chris Davis?
Your Chris Davis is eligible for the Hall of Fame next year.
Hey, one of the greatest power hitting displays over a 3-year span that we've ever seen.
next to Barry Bonds, you got it.
Followed by the worst hitting slate over the next 3-4 years after that, ever.
Howie Kendrick, you remember when the Nationals won the World Series and he had the car thing?
Yeah, make a plaque of that, I guess, and put it in the Hall of Fame.
Matt Kemp, Jason Kipnis.
Okay, what do we... Come on.
The question I ask you guys is, Carlos Beltran had 70% of the vote.
He better get in.
Andrew Jones had 66.2. Next year will be his 10th season.
Who, Beltran or Jones?
Andrew Jones. Manny Ramirez off the ballot.
Well, that's what you get.
No, sorry. Manny's last year will be next year. Andrew Jones will be ninth year.
And what'd Manny get? Like 50 something?
34%.
Oh, God. Yeah,
it's trending the wrong way.
Yeah, he's cooked. well, I guess then.
I think they're going to put in Beltran next year, and that's it.
Yeah.
Maybe Andrew Jones gets in because there's lack of votes.
Yeah.
Maybe Felix Hernandez.
Honestly, I would be cool with just those two next year.
Why Omar Vizquel's not in the Hall of Fame, I don't know.
Oh, he got like, what, 8% vote or something this year?
It was 17.
Really, 17, okay. I knew it was low, but sheesh.
Do you guys like the trend of a bunch of 10th year guys getting in? Tim Rock Reigns, Edgar Martinez, Billy Wagner.
I don't mind it, but also I hope that those guys even realize, like,
of all the dudes that got in their 10th year, Edgar is clearly the best of all of them. Billy Wagner, great closer. Great closer. If you look at his stats, though, he's Hall of Fame worthy. I just don't know if I watched Billy Wagner and said that's a Hall of Famer.
I want to see.
He's like top five in a lot of stuff.
Is there like a list of all the players who got named on their 10th ballot?
I'm sure there is somewhere.
Yeah, I'd like to see that.
In my recent history, I know Tim Rock Reigns, Edgar Martinez, and Billy Wagner. Those are the three I can think of.
Well, and Edgar was more about his position, right?
Right. Edgar was a debate on his position, but that didn't stop them from putting in David Ortiz.
Oh, he was so fast.
And he did steroids. I remember him in Minnesota. Big boy. Quick question. Quick fair foul.
Well, exactly. He was a big boy in Minnesota and Boston, so therefore the steroids were just masked.
Yeah, yeah. Not quite fair or foul, but can you name the top four vote getters in the history of the Hall of Fame?
Yeah, it's Mo. Oh, vote getters, not percentage.
Percentage.
Oh, it's Mo, Derek Jeter, Ichiro, and Ken Griffey Jr.
Which two teams are those?
Yankees and Mariners.
Isn't that wild?
Yeah, and I know all that because literally I had that in front of my face 10 minutes ago, and I was like, oh, look at that. Two Yankees and two Mariners.
Isn't that wild?
That is pretty crazy. Yeah.
Absolutely insane. All right, when we come back, we'll do everybody's favorite fair or foul, and then we'll wrap this bad boy up. But first, we'll throw it over to Will with sports.
Is it fair or is it foul?
Fastball tapped at the plate. It'll trickle down the third baseline. The Mariners are going to let it roll, 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 roll.
A knowledge test to see how well they know the big leagues.
Lenny Randle gets down on his hands and knees and blows on it like a curler, and it goes foul.
And what our distinguished hosts think about the stories that popped up around the big leagues.
But he got down on his hands and knees and literally blew the ball across the foul line.
This is Fair or Foul on the Hot Corner on 1080 The Fan.
All right, this is Fair or Foul. We do it every single Tuesday at the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour. Without any further ado, we'll turn it over to our fantastic fill-in weatherman, William Ortner, state champion producing talent coach of the offensive line, right side of the offensive line at Hawkinson, Ortner.
Getting those hog mollies ready.
He's only a right side guy. Left side, he's not ready for left side.
Oh, see, I'm only a left side.
He's not ready for left side. That's for the big boy O-line coaches. He's still building the right side.
Wait, you guys have
maybe they get a lefty next year, then it's Ortner's time to shine on that right switch. Side.
Wait, don't tell me you're serious. That you actually have a left side offensive line coach and a right side?
Yeah, he's the
strong
right
side. Strong
side
and weak side. Come on now.
Are you serious right
strong
now?
Strong side.
Every single football team has a left side.
Has a left side and a right side. Come on, Joe. I don't even watch football and I know
this.
They
do. No, they don't. Since when?
Since never, idiot.
Thank you.
Yeah, what is your problem?
Okay.
We almost had you
a left side, right
side? I was like,
is there a middle guy that just does centers?
Well, hey, I didn't know. I thought maybe high schools were doing this now.
If the tight end lines up on the right side, does that fall into you? But do you got to co-work with the left side guy in case he lines up on the left side?
Depends.
I was like, no wonder.
If he does well, then I did it. If he does bad,
then he's not my guy. Joe's got some depends on right now.
We almost got him there for a second.
They're doing things different up there.
I could have let it go, but I couldn't. I had to bust in there.
I don't know. Maybe I thought this was a new high school trend that was going on where coach they got one extra O-line coach.
No, dude, the high school trend.
Hitting that Rizzler face.
Hitting that Riz, dude.
Speaking of trends, the Mariners suck. the Mariners don't make any major moves in the offseason. Fair foul. The worst offseason ever in their history.
Oh, God. I mean, I don't have any for context outside of this one, but
I mean, did see that in the last three off seasons, they've spent $33 million.
Last three?
Yeah.
Combined?
Yeah.
Including this year or the three before this?
The two before and this year.
Yeah. I mean, last year was pretty rough because
Mitch
Garver. Because he had DePoto saying really stupid stuff, too. That did not help anything. Dude, it's kind of hard to think of a more lackluster Mariners offseason than the one we're going through.
Second best rotation in baseball behind a team who spends $1 billion.
Yeah, it's really hard to think of another year.
Go Tribe.
Combined with you shouldn't be able to say that. How dare you?
I got the hat on and everything, dude. I'm back.
I'm going to say fair because expectations have been going up over the last couple years. And their spending and their will to make the team better seems to be going down. And those two things are not matching up. And I feel like for the first time in a long time, that Mariners fandom and their feelings towards this franchise and this front office and this team is their positivity is waning. They're slowly becoming the Portland Trailblazers of the MLB.
I will also say fair. It's embarrassing. It's absolutely embarrassing. But to save Schulte from pooping and throwing up again like he's already doing.
At the same time.
I will say fair.
It's frustrating as a Mariners fan. The Dodgers, they get another big signing. Obviously, they go in and just bolster up their starting pitching staff. Fair or foul, another easy march to the championship.
I'll start with this one. I firmly believe this. I said this last year, and it's not that I didn't think that they would win. It's that I still firmly believe that baseball is baseball, and you still have to play it, and pitchers don't always have their game on. Even, you know, I'm looking at this list of, you know, Hall of Fame percentage votes for people, and I've seen Mariano Rivera blow a postseason save, okay? I've seen Randy Johnson get hit. I've seen Maddox lose it. So I will always, always lean on the side that baseball is baseball. So I will say foul for that matter. I do think they will win the title, but I don't think it will be a cakewalk. As long as they don't play the Yankees and the fifth inning doesn't happen, I think it will be it'll still be a challenge. They'll still have to earn it.
Cakewalk for the Dodgers?
Yeah.
I'm going to say fair. This is just, they have all the confidence in the world. They seemingly got better. They kept the majority of their offensive pieces. I mean, I don't know if anybody from their one, T-Oscar's coming back?
T-Oscar's back.
And then obviously you have your three stalwarts. I mean,
newest person to that is Michael Conforto, who's going to play right.
And he's probably going to hit 20 bombs and 80 RBIs, batting like 230 or something like that, which is pretty damn good in Michael Conforto terms.
Yeah.
I have no reason to believe that this team is going to get challenged throughout the year.
And the MLS looks pretty good.
Yeah, but, dude, you want to talk about who's having a rough offseason is the Padres.
I thought your fair foul was going to be like, Mariners are having a worse offseason than anybody else in baseball. It's going to be like, foul. The answer is the Padres.
I mean, you got Tommy Edman coming back now.
Tommy Taters.
You get him for a full season. Yeah.
I think he's going to play second.
I have no reason to believe that this team will not just run through the league yet again.
For third, I've got, the Mets went out and got Soto. There's a new big bad bully in New York. Fair or foul? The Mets are going to be the preferred destination, not the Yankees in New York.
Ooh, it's interesting you say that.
Especially with the ownership.
Preferred destination? I think the answer might be fair. I think the Mets have a little, what do we say? Riz?
They got some money.
They got some riz to them right now. But Joe and I said this. We did Dirt and Sprague during the holidays, and Joe and I talked about this, and I'm sure we'll bring this up when the season gets ready to go again. The Yankees, in my opinion, are better right now than they were last year. And that's without Juan Soto.
Yeah.
So do I think people would be more inclined to be at the Mets than the Yankees right now? I think that answer is yes. Do I think the Mets are better than the Yankees? That I don't know. And I would probably lean towards no.
I would say that...
But sexy? Yeah, sexy.
I would say that players probably feel like it would be better to go to the Mets right now because Cohen is so desperate to make a World Series winner out
and
of that team.
It sounds like he'll pay everybody not named Pete Alonso.
That, yeah, fair point. He might even take Ryan Mountcastle right from right from my Orioles' hands.
Mountcastle, Alonso, potato, potato.
Honestly, if you're asking me, I'd rather have Alonso if I'm
speaking about my Orioles, but
Joe, I think if you're speaking about all 30 teams, yeah, we all want Pete Alonso over Mountcastle.
Mountcastle's solid, all right? He's just not going to...
How dare you?
He's not going to just hit 30 bombs probably ever again in his career. I hope he does, though, for the sake... Because I like Ryan Mountcastle. Anyways, yeah, I think players want to go to the Mets because they know that they're going to get a huge paycheck.
I think it's sexier.
But, again, the Yankees, like we were like, oh, no, poor Yankees. They didn't get Juan Soto. I guess they can't outspend anybody anymore. And then they go and make trades, and they signed whoever. Who did they sign this offseason? Because I know some of them were trades.
I think last year there was a glaring issue.
Max Fried was a sign.
Yes. Paul Goldschmidt is a sign. I think there was a lot of aspects looking at the Yankees last year that it was like, this team is Aaron Judge, and there's no leadership, and a lot of old dudes, but they kind of cleaned all that up. Paul Goldschmidt is an old guy, but I'd have him 10 times over Anthony Rizzo. And yeah, you lose Juan Soto, but Max Fried is huge. Like, I think the Yankees are a better team now.
Gosh, yeah, Devin Williams, I forgot about that. Max Fried. Paul Goldschmidt, again, I'm nervous.
That's a leader.
Yeah, but I'm nervous as hell that's going to turn into another Josh Donaldson.
But Josh Donaldson is a bag.
But again, Paul Goldschmidt is 37 years old.
Yeah, but he's not a bag, so.
Well, not yet. Anyways. Foul.
Joe digresses.
Fair enough. For the last fair foul. And of course, you have to ask it. Should Major League Baseball have a salary cap?
Oh, man.
Oh, I saw the Orioles owner bitching and moaning about this. He owns a team for 1 year, and
just
he's
bought
like,
it.
I do not want to spend money.
He's like, by the way.
Wait, hold
now
on.
Now I understand why Baltimore hasn't won a World Series since the 80s.
Yeah, he. I saw that he came out and said that, and that there was a salary. I think that there should be a salary cap and a salary floor. I mean, you got to make teams spend. Salary cap. I instinctively say yes, but also there's part of me that does feel like if your team wants to spend that much on a player, who's to tell them no, they can't do that. No, they can't spend that much money. I think in other sports it works, but I don't know. It's tough, but I feel like you also just have some franchises that will never be able to keep up with some other ones.
Dodgers were not the number one payroll last year and won a World Series. Dodgers are now the number one payroll this year. So keep that in mind. The number one does not always win the World Series. The Cleveland Guardians were a couple outs and maybe a game or two swing away from going to the World Series. They do not spend money at all. Baseball is still baseball. My opinion, floor for sure. Floor without a doubt. Without a doubt, a floor. And I think a floor can happen. When it comes to a salary cap, I will never try to root for it because the reality is the reality. It is never, and I repeat, never going to happen. There is no way baseball could go on strike for years and it will never happen. The players have already got it. They've already won it. They will never let it go.
Yeah.
If this were the NFL, the NBA, NHL, MLS, EPL, like the EPL now has financial fair play where you can't spend more money than the revenue you bring in to curb what the Dodgers are doing right now. But baseball's lost it, and they will never, ever, ever give it up. And therefore, it's not worth my time, and I'll say foul.
MLB.
Do I want it? Yeah, of course. You're an idiot if you don't think that's a good idea. But it's never going to happen. Not worth my time.
MLBPA Executive Director Tony Clark said back in 2013, quote, we're never going to agree to a cap.
Never.
Quote.
They never will. And they'll hold out as long as possible. They'll hold out for a decade. Baseball, they will kill baseball before they have a salary cap. They will.
We'd rather not get money. Paid.
Alex Rodriguez got two $250 million contracts. They will never give it
up. That's one of the Pandora's box
never
that
give
will
it up.
Never be able to get closed.
Never give it up.
Yeah.
Once Alex Rodriguez got $250, it's over.
Again, I think that the Orioles owner made some news by saying that this week.
but that is also a new owner that is
like, ah, crap.
Like, yeah, I'm never going to spend that, never going to be able to spend that to keep up with these teams. Maybe, hey, other 29 owners, I got this crazy idea. Salary cap? No.
All right, that is fair or foul.
Trust us, we've tried. It's not going to happen, Dave. Just go ahead and sit down.
That is fair or foul. I mean, John Means could be worth $500 million. You never know. That is fair or foul. We do it every single Tuesday at the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour. Thank you, Will, for filling on that. When we come back, we'll wrap this bad boy up and give Joe his love on some Livy Dunn. Hot Corner, 10 of the Fan. All right, we'll be back next week with some more best bowl action for you. But apparently we'll finish up with this. Usually I like to goof off, but Joe was very, very upset that we couldn't get Livy Dunn into this situation. There is a baseball card that features a patch of Paul Skene's jersey and his signature. It is a one-of-one rookie card that an 11-year-old in L.A. got.
Good for that young chap.
And they offered him something to get it back. Now I'm trying to figure out where that is.
Oh, they offered him
30 years worth of season tickets behind home plate, a meet and greet with Skene's, and two Paul Skene's signed jerseys. Skene's girlfriend, LSU gymnast and influencer, and noted hot Livy Dunn also offered the card's owner the opportunity to take in a game with her in a luxury suite at the ballpark during one of Skene's starts.
He's going to have to flip it into the waistband for that entire time.
I mean, can the 11-year-old, like, you know, can he perform?
Well, no. And also, I am not taking that deal. I am saying I want an indecent proposal when I turn 18. And that one game in a suite with Livy? No. When I'm 18, one night with Livy, all right? Dude, the whole Woody Harrelson, Robert Redford, Demi Moore movie there.
I have
Paul, she's mine for the night.
I have a buddy who said, I wouldn't take that deal if I lived in Pittsburgh and was a Pirates fan.
Well, I do find...
he goes, you really want to go to 81 Pirates games and sit behind home plate with that trash organization? And he's a Tampa Bay Rays fan from Tampa.
Well, it's pretty funny that Bob Nutting, the owner of the Pirates, seemingly gave...
Wonderful name in relation to this story.
Was willing to give a 11-year-old more than he would give any player of that franchise, too.
Yeah, what's the value?
All the players
of
are like
30 years of season tickets behind home plate.
I think Buck and Suk, they were talking about this earlier today, and they're like, everything they were giving him, it actually like equated out to like $600,000 or something.
Oh, it's
like
not that.
That
expensive.
No, but still, when you hear like, we'll give you season tickets for 30 years, the players are like, my salary though. They're like, shut up. We want this card.
But my wife has to sit in right field behind, you know, Bobby Joe.
Yeah.
Do you think you could go to them and counter with like, let's say, I know
one night with Livy Dunn?
I know he lives in LA, but let's say the kid lives in Houston. Okay. Lives in Houston, diehard Astros fan. Could you say...
Yeah, what a dumb offer. Kid lives on the other side of the country. Yeah, like, we'll give you tickets to Pirates. Like,
what are you going to do, sell them every day on StubHub?
Yeah, it's like, I know it's going to be summertime, but, you know, I live in L.A.
Yeah. Could you say, you know what, how about 30 years of Astros season tickets behind home plate?
They just call up
and can I get two? Can I get a Josh Hader and a Alex Bregman signed jersey?
That'd be so great if he's like, well, can you get me 30 years of Dodgers games?
They're and
like, click.
And can I get a in the booth with Kate Upton? Does that count? See, I would have countered with my hometown.
Well, you also got to remember, like, this kid's 11. Are we even sure they're like past the point of like when they're flirting with a girl, it's them shoving the girl's head in sand?
Like I said, he's going to have to flip it into the waistband for that entire time in the suite with Livy Dunn.
I will have the suite with Livy Dunn in 20 years.
I don't know that.
Yeah. I'd like to wait 20 years.
Hey, Livy, remember me.
Paul Skene's becomes like a meth head and she leaves him and you've become like some tech bro and you're like, hey, 50-year-old Livy Dunn.
You're like, oh, wow.
I'm 31. You ready?
You grew up.
You ready to have the time of your life, baby?
Dude, she's so hot.
Look at Joe. Joe can't even handle himself.
Dude, she's
not that hot, Joe.
She is. She is.
Oh, God.
And then you have to remember the fact that she's a gymnast.
You're going to make me do this.
Dude, I'm telling you.
You saying you forgot what Livvy Dunn looks like?
For sure, dude.
Her Vuori commercials pop up every other ad.
I don't know what that is, man.
Their pants.
Yeah, she's all right.
She's like on a beach.
And then what's the... I'm spacing the other kid who throws a nasty slider for the Pirates. Oh, my God. He also went to LSU.
That Ortiz kid is in Cleveland now.
It's killing me. No. And, of course, if I type a Pirates pitcher, it's going to give me Paul Skeens every time. Jared Jones.
Oh, yeah.
He also went to LSU, and he also has an absolute smoke show of a girlfriend, too.
Is it coincidentally, is it Divi Lund?
No, it is not. But I remember I looked her up as well, and I was like, dude, my God.
Look, I know.
Being an LSU pitcher at LSU is very a fruitful endeavor.
The South, man.
I know I'm going to take heat for this. Like, Livvy Dunn's hot, but like she looks like every other hot.
Okay. And forgive me, he went to Texas. He played for the Texas Longhorns.
So none of this even matters, does it?
No. But she is hot, too. I will say that.
What do you think that card goes for? So if the package was
probably
600K,
like a mil.
You think it's a mil?
Probably. And it's going to go...
You sell now, because what if Paul Skeens isn't very good? What if he blows his arm out next year and doesn't have the velocity, and Livvy Dunn leaves him?
Yeah, you
gotta sell that now.
Yeah, it's probably the smart move to do. Just cut your losses.
Yeah, dude.
But you know that you got to milk this for a little bit because the value went up because of this story.
Well, yeah.
You gotta believe that. I'm holding on to it.
I also would just have it and always have it.
Oh, no. I'd sell it eventually.
The only thing I would get rid of is like Bonds home run ball. I'd shoot that ass to the moon.
Take BP with it?
Yeah. Yeah. All right, that'll do it. Big shout out to the Big Will Ortner for helping us out today. We love you, my man. It's good to see you as always. We'll be back next week and dive into some more off-season stuff as we get a little bit closer. Plus, maybe we'll do a little Super Bowl preview for some funsies. That's Joe Fisher. I'm Patrick Harris. Go do something. I would do.